Are you interested in bringing communities together? Are you interested in bridging cultural and communication gaps? Are you interested in podcasting? We want to help build a better world through better understanding of one another. And we want to amplify your voice in the conversation. So bring your ideas and voice to the Venn Network. We will help you bring your voice to the world.
Two Iraqis came here to this country, were radicalized.
For that terror attack overseas. Total and
complete shutdown. Assalamu alaikum, ladies and gentlemen. Assalamu alaikum, boys and girls. Welcome to another live streaming episode of Raw Islam, the only podcast that not only streams into your ears on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and all those amazing sites, but also the one of the only podcasts that streams into your eyeballs as you watch us on Facebook Live. Now, before we get going tonight, before we turn the mic over to Imam Azhar, who, of course, it's his show. It's Raw Islam with Imam Azhar, right? I have a special announcement for all of you out there, because, and this is going to be my PBS moment, and when I'm done, I'll post a link. So, anyway, here's my PBS moment. You guys know that we are on Patreon. You guys know we have hosting that we pay for, and we have bandwidth we pay for, and all this fun stuff, and we are totally listener-supported. Now, this is usually where I say, so head over on to patreon.com, look for Venn Network, support this and great other shows. But tonight, I am proud to introduce, I am happy, I am elated to introduce tonight, ladies and gentlemen, you can now help support the show by getting a Venn Network t-shirt. That's right, a Venn Network t-shirt. And I will post the link in the conversation down below so you guys can click on it and check it out. I'm going to order one because I think it's super cool. And it helps support the Venn Network. And, of course, all the hosts get a little cut from it. So you help support the hosts, too, so that we can spend our time bringing you great content like Raw Islam with the hardest working imam that I know. Ladies and gentlemen, Imam Azhar.
Hey, assalamu alaikum, Brother Carl, and assalamu alaikum to everyone out there. I can't say anything better than what you just said. You know, you always start off on a very high note, on a positive, with a positive vibe. And it becomes my responsibility to follow up on that and continue from that point forward. So it's like you've already taken off with the roller coaster and I'm just trying to catch up to it and jump on. But we welcome all our listeners tonight to another mind-boggling episode of Raw Islam. And Carl, quick question. Do you have colors in the t-shirts?
Of course I do. We have all of our. In fact, for those of you that are watching this on YouTube and on those of you watching this on YouTube and Facebook, our little logo right down there in the bottom of the corner is exactly what you're going to get on your T-shirt.
Wow, interesting. Well, Carl, you know I ask you that because I'm into funky colors. Believe it or not, I've had orange shoes, purple shoes, multicolor shoes. I have polka dot shoes, black, gold, and white. And I also have blue, black, and white in polka dots. So I love my colors, and I want to thank you for what you're doing. And I think everyone who listens on a weekly basis, regardless if they listen to us on YouTube, Facebook, or if they download the episode as a podcast, we are grateful, and myself included, for what you do for this show to facilitate and accommodate us in your precious time so that our conversation between the two of us can go out to the ears of many people and hopefully, as you say, mind-riveting conversation, which will allow people to think. And that's why I feel it's important time and time again, Brother Carl, that we remind our listeners we are not here to preach Islam. We're not here to promote a certain ideology or a branch of the faith, nor are we here to condemn, contest, or compare with other faiths. Our goal here on a weekly basis is to bring you contemporary matters, happening in your life, in my life, and in our world, and bring an Islamic touch to it. And it's imperative to bring an Islamic touch to it because there's two problems, Carl, in our world today. Number one is that majority of the cultural Muslim community have separated Islam from the world. So it's like we're Muslims and we do our Islam thing, but then we do our as a Samaritan in the world, when in actuality they go hand in hand. And that culture has predominantly become the norm within the passing of generations. It's kind of been the baton that we've passed along, that it's very hard to talk about things in context of religion. You know, Carl, if I told you, take the the Super Bowl, take the State of the Union, take the greatest dip in the Dow Jones Friday and Monday together, and bring a religious touch to it. Carl, what will you say? Are you crazy? You know, what are you trying to do to your religion? Your religion has nothing to do with the State of the Union. Your religion doesn't have nothing to do with pigskin, which is stitched up and thrown around between certain men. It's actually, Carl, it's haram. It's najis. It is filth. And if you touch that pigskin, you know, you cannot eat food. And if you eat your food, that's haram also. And if the haram goes in your stomach becomes haram, and your food is haram, and your dua is not accepted, you're going to hellfire, Carl. Is that what you want to hear?
No, because I have said this before on this show, and I will say it again, and I will say it again, and I will say it again. People, pork is not kryptonite to Muslims. Okay, yeah, we all look like Superman. We all got that great physique, and you know, the chiseled jaws. That's why all Muslims grow beards, you know, so we can hide our chiseled jaws. But pork is not kryptonite. So I saw that tweet as well, and I'm like, dude, really? What? Okay, whatever.
Give them credit. They took it down. You know, Breitbart, all the credit to you. You guys took down the tweet about Muhammad asking his father as to what is football. But anyways, the point I'm saying, number two, is religion and Islam go hand in hand. We want to bring you contemporary issues on a weekly basis and explain how this makes or breaks your spiritual state and how you can work with it or work alongside with it. That being said, Carl, as I said in my lengthy opener, is that we've had the State of the Union this week. We had a lengthy one. You know, I was on a conference call and I missed every single word, but I just saw him talking, and it was for an hour and a half, almost 90 minutes of talking. So you had the State of the Union followed by the Super Bowl over the weekend, which we're going to get into. And then the beautiful, peaceful celebrations in Philadelphia. The beautiful celebrations in Philadelphia, where we want to talk about riots versus celebration, civil compared to uncivilized. I think we want to touch on that. And lastly, Carl, we're going to talk about our stock market and wealth and how wealth twists a person's life. And you know, like you wring the towel, that's really what happens to people. They cringe when things are not looking the way they have to. So that being said, Carl, we're talking about a lot of mumbo jumbo tonight. Let's start with the State of the Union. Fellow Muslims, remember, America is our country also. And Allah put us here, regardless if we were born here, regardless if we have been here for generations, and regardless if we just immigrated to this country. Being in any part of the world pushes you. It encourages you to own it. You're there for a purpose beyond your bread and butter, beyond your education and your career, beyond your family and your children. It's about owning it. So as much as we want to talk about the State of the Union and what was said and dissect the whole speech, we know that our country is currently transitioning, and it's in this phase where it's on the crossroads and it's kind of identified the route it wants to take. And so our concerns for our nation should always be that every single human being, that they can do what they can to the full of their potential and not be restrained because of financial reasons or physical reasons. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, never let a poor companion feel like they weren't worth it, nor did he let a sick companion feel like they weren't enough for it. Everyone is good, everyone is great. As a matter of fact, Carl, I know I'm speaking a lot tonight, but the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and Jesus, and Moses, and all other prophets, there's something unique about their trends. Number one is their sense of seclusion. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, secluding himself into the cave, and Musa Islam going up onto the mountain for 40 days. There is a sense of seclusion that you go into, and these are phases where you kind of build your momentum and come back out. But the people who always clicked with them and connected to them from the get-go were the poor and the weak. There are many people in our country who are poor, but they can't show it, or they don't want to talk about it. It's the best time in our life when we could share something that's inexpensive, a smile, a tear, a hug, a shoulder. Share what's in your plate with someone. Believe me, it goes a long way. I don't know if I told you about this last week, Carl. I was in New Jersey, and I got to the airport ahead of time because I was scared of the security lines. I saw the security lines when I was exiting the airport on the day I came. I'm like, I'm not going to be in this thing. I'm going to come early. Apparently, I forgot I had booked two different airlines. So I was coming back with a different airline, which meant a different terminal, and the security line wasn't too bad. When I got inside, I roamed the whole terminal, which was like a lot of gates. So I was like, I didn't have time to kill. Where can I buy something to eat? I found a decent joint, ordered a fish sandwich, but Carl, I didn't want to tell you, it wasn't cooked according to our standards. You know, our standards of halal, like they mix the beef and the fish. It was all on the same grill type of thing. But it was good food. What I did was I took it. After paying for it, I realized that was my food. I took it and I walked and I confronted a person who was a worker. People working, you know, long hours and they don't get time to eat. And if they do get time, they don't have the means to eat whatever is there at the airport. And I gave it to him. He just had this dead face, like, you know, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, just you take it. And I said, let me tell you one thing. I just bought it, but I'm not going to eat it because it's cooked on the same grill as other meats were, and my religion doesn't allow me to consume those meats. He was so happy, Carl. He was ecstatic. And it was just like, you know, $5. So it's a time for us, as we reflect on the state of the union, that we should reach out when our close proximity are hurting. That's my take on the religion with the State of the Union. As for the Super Bowl, Carl, who are you rooting for?
So, given my background of being from New England, my following statement is going to be, and this will I'll probably end up using this word twice tonight, but my following statement is going to be what would be considered treasonous, because I am just about, or I was just about done with the Patriots continuously winning and winning and winning and winning. I'm done. And so it was nice to see the Philadelphia Eagles win because it was their first win since the franchise opened. So congratulations to all my fans and my friends from Pennsylvania and from the Philadelphia area. Congratulations to you. It's well-deserved. About time.
Well, I was going to put a hashtag on you, Carl. Brady lover, but I'm sure that you didn't go that way, so you're not a Brady lover, and hashtag
nope.
Brady 40 should retire now. But you know what, I believe there was two sides to the coin. There was the really small pool on the map of America, maybe a dot of true Philadelphia Eagle fans, and then there was the mass majority that said, you know what, just take the Patriots down and win the thing. Like, we don't care. We may not support the Eagles, but we definitely don't support the Patriots winning another Super Bowl.
And that was me.
So that's, I think, where most people fell into. But, you know, it wasn't the Super Bowl and the hype as much as it was what happened after. And I want to bring Islam into this. And that was the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said to us, you're not a believer until your neighbor is at peace from your harm. That his wealth, his property, his possessions, his life, her life, her property, her possessions, her belongings are protected, and they are not in any way harmed by your physical presence. What happened in Philadelphia, you know, is shameful, because they had to Crisco the polls before the Super Bowl, right? When it was the championships before the Super Bowls, like the division titles. And I was like, man, I thought that was fake news, but it was true. The police were ordered to Crisco the polls so no one would climb up. And I didn't understand that. But when you see what happened after, again, it's not about, well, that was them and we're not like that. A true believer is someone who sends out positive vibes and whose influence is positive enough it changes people's way of doing things. Celebrating is fine, but jumping on the canopy of Ritz-Carlton entrance isn't fine. Falling off a traffic light ain't fine. Carrying a light pole, I don't know how you guys do that. Like, carry it. Like, what are you going to do? Take it to South Korea for the Winter Olympics? Come on, guys. This is wrong. And if our own government cannot trust our civil duties to just go out and celebrate and be happy, this is our right, but then we destroy and demolish, it should also reflect on us and myself and my inability to create a positive atmosphere where these things would even be thought of or get perpetrated and done in such a bad way. Carl, that said, we're going to go into the stocks. My, oh my, you know, since I was president, the stock market's been climbing. And while he was speaking, it was dropping. At 3 p.m. on Monday, it dropped 1,600 points. Now, Carl, I'm going to tell you something. And this is something that's been bothering me, because I take the religious context, like the text itself, and try to put it into my life. Like, how can it happen, right? So the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, makes a prayer. And I want you to reflect on this. And I want my listeners to tune in tonight. Allahumma rizukni kafafan. Allah, give me enough. Allah, give me enough. Enough that I can wear it for today, I can drink for today, I can eat for today, I can share for today, and I can go back to sleep. Enough, right? Not more, not so much, I don't know what to do with it, just enough. Now, we know there's some, I'm not an economist, and nor do I present myself as one, but I do watch the rhythms of cryptos and stuff, and I have to tell you, there's some shady business going on there where things go so up and down. You know, remember, there's one thing in religion I want to say. In religion, if Carl gains, what happens to me, Carl? You're gaining, I am?
Well, in Islam, you should be gaining as well.
Exactly. So if, for example, I taught Carl to do something good and you did it, you get the reward and I also get the?
Reward.
Without any decrease in yours. So Allah doesn't say, okay, because you told Carl, here's a 10% commission, Carl gets 90% and you get 10%. No, Carl gets his 100 and I get my 100 for the fact that I had facilitated this lesson or teaching and incorporated it into your life through transmission of it, through my words or action, whatever it may be. The point here is, Carl, that people don't understand that in religion, everyone gains, no one loses. But in our society today, if someone's gaining, someone's losing. And if someone's losing, someone's gaining. And it's not like that in Islam. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, well, Allah, give me enough. Carl, tell me, how would you take that? Allah, just give me enough.
Well, I mean, my interpretation of that is quite simple, that you're asking for enough. And it goes back to what you were saying when you were explaining the hadith, which is simply, make sure I have enough food to survive today. Make sure I have enough clothes to wear today. Make sure I have enough water to drink today. And you make that dua every day, and it just for the next day and the next day. But it doesn't, nowhere in that hadith and nowhere in your description does it say, oh Allah, give me a million bazillion dollars so that I'm the richest person on the earth.
But understand what a deeper thing, I'm going to go one level down. Allah promised in the Quran, everyone's sustenance and needs is already taken care of, right? Whatever is written for us as our needs, we're going to get it. When the Prophet Muhammad SAW was praying about this, he's saying, allow me to be also content and satisfied with my needs. When I'm telling you to give me enough, is not, I know you're going to give me what's written for me, but make that enough for me too, right? I don't want to get involved in wants. People have the FOMO right now, and that's fear of missing out. They want to jump into cryptos, they want to jump into stocks, and they want to do some weird things to do to get into those places, which we spoke about, I think, two podcasts ago. And the only thing is, it's stressed out. It kills you. Let me tell you, it goes down to a very simple line, and that's what I wanted to push today, was trust in Allah, and it is the beacon, it's the light behind faith in Allah. If I have a light, like I have this one behind me, right, and there's no light bulb in the car, there's no light bulb, and I plug it in and I turn it on, what am I going to get?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? Rocket science, everybody. Light, twist it, turn it, fix it, plug it in, no light bulb, nothing. But if the light bulb was there, then it will illuminate the room. Same way, Carl, we profess the faith, that we have faith, but the light bulb is trust. And the trust in Allah is lost. You know why it's lost, Carl? Because by wasting food, we lost blessings. By assuming we're the ones taking care of ourselves, we lost the satisfaction. You know, we could drink the water, but it's God who quenches our thirst. We can eat the food, it's God that fills our stomach. We can sleep at night, but it's God who restores and resets our body, right? We can do what we want to do, but remember, don't take God out of the equation, because part of your faith is, and a major part of your faith is, believing that you do your part of the bargain, He does His part of the bargain. Never assume you're doing the entirety. I'm making the food, I'm eating the food, and I'm keeping myself healthy. No, there's Allah's part in it. You did your part, He does His part. And you know, this trust in Carl took me to a very unique position today. Something strange happened, Carl. Should I share that story with you?
Of course. Well, of course. Why not?
I'm teaching this course up in New Jersey, which is about, right now, it's called Living, How to Become a Living Quran in the 21st Century. And I'm teaching about how to build that connection with Allah. So it's actually pushing me in mentally and physically to, you know, reconnect and be more vigorous on that. So I was thinking about trust in Allah today, and something really strange happened. This sink in the kitchen clogged, and it clogged so bad that, you know, it was not, the water wasn't going down. Just like a lot of juice, we juiced some apples and carrots, and unfortunately went down the drain, and it clogged up, and the disposal was working, but the water wasn't draining. Now, I could panic, right? You can panic. We can have a panic attack, call the plumber, you know, get some Drano, get a plunger, do what you want to. All said and done. But is it going to unclog? It depends, right? It still depends. There's no guarantee on any of these things, right? So when I was panicking, as anyone would panic, like, oh my God, happened? Okay, where's the Drano? Get the plunger, do this, do that, empty it out. I said to myself, after doing all that, I messed up on the first part. And the first part is say, I'm going to do my part, and I trust Allah's going to do His part. I failed in everything, Carl. Everything I did, my wife did, we failed. So before I left to pick up the kids, you know, I put some of the liquid down, and I said, you know, Allah, bismillah, I did my part, you do your part. And this is the bargain of faith. This is where faith comes in to change our lives. You say to Allah, okay, fine, I did my part, now it's your turn. And I prayed on it. I said, Allah, if you can open it, fine. If not, then I have to call a plumber. If not, He's going to come and open up the pipes. If not, it's going to become a whole messy situation. Come home, guess what, Carl? It's still flooded. But this time, I said, okay, I did my part, right? Put the plunger, start it again, guess what? Boom, it's all gone. So what happens is, trust is to change in yourself, your processing system. And with that, I finish with one hadith. Everyone quotes this, especially our ultra-conservative, right-wing, hard-line Muslims, right? If you see something wrong, change it with your hand. If you can't change it with your hand, change it with your tongue. If you can't change your tongue, then you should have some thought about it in your heart, and that's the weakest form of faith. Take that hadith and turn it on yourself. That I should at least in my heart be conscious of the fact that I know this is right and I know this is wrong. Tell yourself what you need to do constantly, because mankind forgets. And lastly, if you want to change something with your hand, Don't be like those people that when you're walking out of Juma from a large masjid and they're praying and you have to walk in front of them because you're trying to get out, and they stick their hand out so hard, like they resist you. And as if you try to cross that line, you're going to kind of cross over the no man's land between North Korea and South Korea, and beware, you're going to be nuked or something. Like, come on, let it go. Change where the hand is changed by reinstating a positive thing in the world through your actions. As you profess, you stand for those actions through your faith of Islam.
And ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of another episode. And the ending of this episode is the only thing that is treasonous here on this show. So make sure you stand up and applaud right now for Imam Azhar, because we don't want, you know, I don't know, I was working on that joke and it just didn't pull together. I apologize.
I know where you're coming from.
But that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the episode. Thank you, everybody who joined us. Thank you, everybody who listened. Thank you, everybody on Twitter. We were having some real fun today with you guys. It was amazing. We really appreciated it. And if you are hanging out saying, how can I get my Venn Network t-shirt? Just hold on 1 second, because as soon as the episode is finished, I will go post the link in the description. And until next time, we will say, Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States. First of all, we should develop detention centers for them.
Everywhere there is Islam, you'll find women oppressed.
This has been a production of the Venn Network.